Okay, Tina, will you unmute yourself and start us off with the Serenity Prayer in Dutch?
Course. God, geef mij de gemoedsrust om te aanvaarden wat ik niet kan veranderen. De moed om te veranderen wat ik kan veranderen. En de wijsheid om tussen deze twee het onderscheid te kennen.
Thank you, Tina. Federica, can you unmute yourself and open us up with the Serenity Prayer in Italian?
Yes. I'm Fedi, and I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon, the Serenity Prayer in Italiano, in Italian. Signore, concedimi la serenità di accettare le cose che non posso cambiare, il coraggio di cambiare quelle che posso e la saggezza di comprenderne la differenza.
Thanks for the connection.
Thank you, Federica. And I'm just going to do this in English. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Welcome, everybody, to Al-Anon Without Borders Native American Conference. This is the third, well, there have been three Native American conferences. The first one was in 2017 in New Mexico, Albuquerque. 18 and 19 was in Santa Fe, and in 2020, I had a ticket to go to Santa Fe to go to the Native American Conference, and guess what? COVID broke out, and I couldn't go. And you know, I don't know what I miss until I know what I miss, and so one day somebody sends me a link and said, you should hear this man, and I logged in, and there was Don C., and I'm looking at the screen, and I'm smelling the sage, and I'm like, oh my God, we're doing Native American, we have to do this. And I want to say thank you to Norm W., who was the minority coordinator in New Mexico, who started this ball rolling together with Claire R., former employee of the WSO. And Don had been talking to New Mexico for a while about, let's do a Native American conference. And so as I started getting this together, as God has it, I'm doing a different event on a different platform, and it's a history thing. And I was talking to Diana, and she had two boxes full of paperwork. And I pull one piece of paper out there, and I just start reading it, because I was like, what is this? And it's box 459. It's the newsletter of AA. And lo and behold, out of all that paperwork, I pulled this one, and this one is from October, November 1988, and it says, one area's experience in reaching out to Native North Americans. An unusual and significant meeting took place in Denver, Colorado on October 24 of 1987. A group of approximately 40 AAs were there solely to focus on ways to carry the message to North Americans who are known to be at high risk for alcoholism. They put together an 8-member task force to be known as the American Indian Committee and made a commitment to follow through in every way possible. Additionally, they appointed a KISS person, Sam C., to ensure that the committee kept things simple and not deviate from its mission. One member of the committee is Don C. of Colorado Springs. I was just on hand as a sober drunk and a Native American, he says. A number of us had long been concerned about the rising incidence of alcoholism on the reservations, but we hadn't done much about it. Then our area delegate, Bruce S., spoke at the Colorado State Convention in September of 87, and he told us of the General Service Conference emphasis on providing special literature and other kinds of help and got us fired up. The new committee identified numerous ways to carry the message to Native Americans that included the following: help with establishing meetings, organize annual Native American conventions, provide information to treatment centers, start a library featuring Native American speakers, and build a list of AA volunteers willing to act as temporary sponsors. We further agreed, Don notes, to ask DCMs to notify us of Native American meetings within their areas, whereupon we attempt to publish a list of these meetings through AA. Other means was clarified to include a newsletter to be published 8 times a year, 1 month before each area assembly and 1 month after. It is to be called the Four Directions. The first issue of the Four Directions was published in February of 1988. Attendance at meetings of Native Americans in Denver area, for example, has quadrupled. There is now a meeting every night of the week in the city of Denver alone, reports Don. We encourage the Native American AAs to commit to a home group, to seek sponsorship, and become integrated into the fellowship as a whole. But it takes time and patience. Furthermore, many Native Americans are leery of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are working one day at a time to explain what AA is and to overcome their confusion and distrust. He cites what happened in BC, British Columbia, after the AA program was introduced. In 14 years, they went from 100% alcoholism among those over 12 years of age to 95% sobriety in the same age range. In Colorado, where alcoholism is rampant among Native Americans, we'd like to achieve similar results. In 1987, the General Service Conference recommended that a pamphlet specially designed for Native Americans be prepared and brought back for consideration to the 1988 conference. The approved pamphlet, which will be available from GSO early next year, contains stories of several Native Americans sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that was in 1988. And so, having said that, I want to introduce you to the man that this article was written about, Don C. from Colorado Springs. Go ahead, Don.
Great wave.
Oh, we have to unmute Don.
Hello.
Don, you're on mute. Can you unmute yourself?
We're in the Al-Anon conference. Hi.
Jason, you need to mute. Can you unmute? Yeah.
Is that better?
Yes. Sorry.
Okay. All right. That's all right. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Don Coyas, and I am a member of the Mohican Nation. And our nation is a matriarchal system. So I was born for the Turtle Clan from my mother's side. And I'd just like to say I'm just really honored to be here at this. I love that name, the Al-Anon Without Borders. That's just, that says it all. Because we kind of have that same philosophy, you know. It used to be in Mexico, those were all native tribes. And then when the government drew the line, all of a sudden they weren't tribes anymore, and that border made them into something different. And so when I see somebody erasing borders, I just give a high five, you know, anytime we see somebody erasing borders, because that's how, you know, how it should be. And so our elders, they always tell us, whenever people gather together for a reason, for a purpose, they say it's always best to take the time to do a ceremony. So it's best to take the time to pray. So it's best to get all of our minds so we got one mind. And I never ever thought when I first got sober that I'd ever see that you could talk from here and talk all around the world to Italy and UK and, you know, all over. It's just, I think part of it, it's a blessing, you know, that we can reach out this message and share and to hear the opening in other languages. It just made my heart really smile, you know, to hear it done that way. Because in our communities, there are 572 different tribes in the United States. All those tribes are different. They all have their own language. They have their own ceremony. They have their own customs or ways of doing things. And sometimes I think what happens is TV thinks we're all alike. That there's some kind of I guess it's a John Wayne thing, that all Indians are the same. Now we're very, very different. So in these 2 days, I think our sharings of recovery, you're going to hear different peoples from different tribes sharing their recovery. And so I would just like to take some time to do this opening and explain what this hoop here is. This hoop has on it 100 eagle feathers. So in the old days, it was believed that the eagle carried the message of our prayers to the Creator. So what happened was the eagle feather was always respected, or if you saw an eagle flying across the sky, you knew the prayers were going to the Creator. So we have very, very high respect for the eagle and for the eagle feathers. And so from 1879 to 1960, the government did a number of things to our Indian tribes. One of them was they started taking the children away from the parents and putting them into what was called the boarding schools. So thousands of Native kids were put in boarding schools, very young kids, and they were re-educated, not to learn culture, language, ceremonies, not to learn none of that. What they were trained to do was to think to how to enter the dominant culture. So when these kids went back home to their tribes, they couldn't speak their language, they didn't know ceremonies, etc. And so as a result of that, the world wars, by 1920, 99% of the Native population had been killed off. And so started in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, we had really high alcoholism rates in our community. My tribe, the Mohican tribe where I'm from, at one time they estimated that we had 90% alcoholism above the age of 12. We just had some really serious drinking problems. And we didn't know how to quit doing it. You know, even though AA started in 1935, it hadn't really migrated very strongly into our Native communities. You know, initially, it took some years for it to get there. So in the mid-90s, the elders, we had a gathering of elders, the real old spiritual people, 40 of them. And what they told us, they said, there's a healing time going to come. They said, the prayers have been heard. They said, so a healing time is going to come. So they said, shortly, they said, there's going to be a white buffalo calf will be born. And so we had heard the stories that the white buffalo calf had appeared here like 17 generations ago. And so it was not too long after that, the white buffalo calf was born 1994 in Janesville, Wisconsin. So shortly after that, the elders told us that we needed to build a hoop of 100 eagle feathers. And then that's how this hoop got born. And so when they announced that, all of a sudden these feathers started to come to us in the mail. I walked down the street, people just gave me an eagle feather. And so we took 9 months and 100 eagle feathers showed up. And so we built a sweat lodge. We took a willow, we built a circle of that willow in the sweat lodge. And then 4 days we fasted while our families prepared each eagle feather with a prayer and a way, and they bring it into the sweat lodge, and we would tie it on a sweat lodge inside of the beginning. And so when it was done, we had 100 feathers. So the elders said, bring this hoop up by the white buffalo calf. So we took it up there. Then they said, you need to gather the traditional elders from the red, yellow, black, and white. So we bought traditional elders from Africa, from Tibet, from Finland, the Samoan people, and also we had my own tribes here. So the elders did a ceremony. They said the healing time's coming. So they said, we're going to put 4 powers in this hoop. The first power they give, they said, in order for the healing to take place, forgiveness is going to need to happen. So they put in a power there, forgiving the unforgivable. So when people would come by the hoop, they would feel forgiveness. The second one was the powers of unity, this idea that we're in this together. The third was the powers of healing, and then the powers of hope. And so they put this 4 prayers in there, and then you'll notice there's 4 colors of ribbons, red, yellow, black, and white. And they said, what this means, when the people come here, they will see that the Creator didn't make 4 races, the only Creator only made 1 race, and that's the human race. And so what they said is, when we're in the womb, that is where the Creator will give to each one what they call an earth suit. Then you're born, and in the color of your skin, that's who you are walking around. But it's not a race, you're just a human being, you see, with an earth suit. So when that was done, what they told us, they said, you need to, this hoop doesn't belong to you. They made me the keeper of this hoop. They said, this is the people's hoop. And so they instructed us to do next was go on 4 journeys across the United States. And so the first one, we started in Los Angeles, and we ran from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C., stopping into communities, and we started to talk about the fulfillment of prophecy, that the CAP was born, that we got to get into recovery, that there's tools that we could use. And by then, the elders, we took AA's 12 steps to the elders, and we were speaking of it like it was a white man's program. And they said, no, it's not a white man's program. They said, this is a natural order of how to come back to be in harmony. And so they said, the only thing you should do differently is take the 12 steps and put them in a circle. And so we put 3 steps in the east, steps 1, 2, and 3. And that's about finding your relationship with the creator. 4, 5, 6 in the south, that you find your relationship with yourself, you know, your strengths and weaknesses. And then in the west was the amends. Now you make relationships with your people that you hurt, you set it right. And 10, 11, 12, they said, now you're back in harmony with the earth. And it's a maintenance. And so we started to take this hoop to the communities. They would start to call for it, and they would say, could you bring our hoop here? Our people want to go into healing. And so we would go there. We would talk, put the message of AA, about Al-Anon, about recovery. And it started to, we found out when we put the steps in a circle, the Native people started to say, oh, that's what it is. It's not a white man's program. It's ours, because it's in a circle. And so a movement started to take place. We made 4 journeys across the United States. And so then since that time, this hoop has traveled over 200,000 miles. So when people ask for it, it's been in Canada, it's been in Alaska. So when people want to go into healing or there's a gathering of people, they say, could you bring our hoop here? And so we take it there. So in this hoop, there's thousands and thousands of prayers that have been said. Grandmas have cried around this hoop. They have put the babies underneath the hoop and prayed for them. And so we're just really honored to bring this hoop to this Al-Anon Without Borders, to think that this hoop could be here. And so what we'd like to do is we would like to smudge. That is a way that we take our medicines or our plants and provide a way of connecting people together. And what we will do is we'll use this sage, and it's a plant that we use. And we light this plant, and then the smoke, that's where the medicine is. It comes out in the smoke. And so we will take the eagle fan, and we will spread this smoke. And while the elders taught us, they said, the center is everywhere. And so when we light this medicine here, and the smoke comes out, you'll feel it in London, you'll feel it in Italy, Oklahoma, Montana. It travels. I mean, doesn't it make sense? The center is everywhere. Here I am in Colorado Springs, and I'm connected to all of you. You hear my voice, you see all at the same time. So while we're doing this, it's a blessing that we want to put out to connect everybody these next few days. And so my relatives from the Wilbrady movement in Portland, they're ones that drive a lot, very active in the sobriety and in the Wilbrady movement. And they have a drum, it's a good heart drum. And they wherever we gather, we call these guys up and they show up. And so I call them to ask them to sing an honor song for us to, so they're gonna be doing 2 songs. One is an honor song. And so we will be honoring like Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob and Lois. And we'll be honoring the ancestors, the ones that, you know, there were people before us that helped us get to this recovery where we're at now. It didn't start. They went through very hard times sometimes to get this knowledge of what we have now. And so we want to honor the relatives from across the big pond. We want you to and for your ancestors, you know, that we come together, this recovery from alcoholism is working. We now have thousands and thousands of us Native people are in recovery. Our drums are back, our feathers are back, the culture that was taken away, it's coming back. So with that, if I could ask my relatives to start and sing this honor song, and then I'm going to be smudging everybody off this hoop. And what if you have not done this before, the medicine comes out in the smoke, and if you hold out your hands, you know, to accept it, then that smoke, the medicine from that smoke, it'll come to you. And so at this time, if my relatives could start the song, the honor song, then I will light the sage and do the ceremony. So Jason, can you hear?
Yes, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go ahead and start the song, man.
Okay, you ready for us?
Yes.
Okay.
With the sound. Could you film them? Right here.
Thank you.
We're going to ask Selena to sing one more song before we do the closing prayer to end the opening ceremony. And about 4 years ago, a group of elders came to us and they said, we would like to add a feather to the hoop. And so in the center of the hoop, they bought this feather. It's actually two feathers. One is a large feather, and the other is a plume. And a lot of people do not know this, but in our native communities, there is a thing going on where our young Native women by the hundreds are actually being killed. They're being murdered, they're being kidnapped. And a lot of people don't know this, but this has been going on for a long time. So there's a movement now, it's called the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. It's not only happening here, but also in Canada. There's this thing that is going on. And so we have trying to create this awareness, because a lot of our women in recovery, they're very involved in this movement of getting this missing and murdered women thing stopped. And so I've asked Selena if she would sing the Strong Woman song. And it's to honor this feather and to honor the families of who their daughters and moms that were gone missing, that they are given blessings to help them through their grieving process, and that we find that we get more and more of our women in recovery. And it's really a strong place where Al-Anon is needed. Al-Anon, I was so excited to see that Al-Anon group in Santa Fe start to create a Native Al-Anon movement going. I remember after the first gathering that they had in Santa Fe, there were groups starting up all over, because in that first Al-Anon gathering, they were teaching the people, this is how you start a group, this is what it is, this is the literature. They started to teach the people how to get Al-Anon. So we thought it would be very appropriate to sing the Strong Woman song at this Al-Anon gathering, because Al-Anon will be very, very helpful in helping with the healing of this issue that's going on with our Indians and our families. So if we could now have the Strong Woman song sung, and then Selena will do a closing prayer, and that will end the opening ceremony.
You guys, Selena, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Jason? Yeah? Listen, can somebody put earbuds in? Because the sound is not really good. There's a lot of disturbance in the sound. So maybe check your connection and give the phone to Selena. Get it closer to her. Maybe that will work out better.
Earbuds will make it silent.
Yeah, if you put earbuds in and you listen to the platform, you can actually not Selena in this case, but yeah, let's try it that way. Thank you, Selena.
So, you know, you say that short, would you say that prayer then?
Good morning, good afternoon, and maybe even evening to everyone here. My name is Selena. My peoples come from the Yakima Nations and Tsleil-Waututh tribes. Today we stand here on the Yakima Nation lands, and I bring you this prayer. You know, Creator, I ask that you come and stand amongst us, stand with us. Give us that guiding light we need today, Creator. Give us that love for all of our missing and women, missing indigenous women, missing and murdered indigenous women, all our children out here suffering from parents who may be alcoholics or grandparents who may be alcoholics or addicts. So all the family members who have to suffer and deal and watch as their loved ones are fading away into this addiction. I ask that you stand with them today, Creator, as they make their ways through the day to help and guide these people who are still stuck in their addictions. And I ask that we all carry in our hearts that the memory for our waters, this clean water, this clean air, this earth, the substance, the things that make us human, the things that connect us, the things that bring us life. You know, I ask that we continue to take care of it as land takers, as peoples, as human beings. Remember that's our responsibilities, that we need to stand up and make sure our water stay clean and that our air is not polluted and that we have substance and food. And for those of us who eat meat, maybe vegetarians, you know, that we still have our game and we survive and continue. And for anyone that's suffering with COVID or who has family suffering from COVID, who has lost someone from COVID, you know, I ask that Creator continue to stand with you in your time of mourning or in your time of sickness and just help you all get through it. And, you know, I thank you for honoring me with this moment, and you guys have a great meeting. Oh,
who, well, thank you for allowing us to do this opening. The purpose of it was for us all to connect to one another. And I think if anyone has looked at the agenda, we're going to see this will be a very powerful few days. Some of the best speakers, some of the best sharing is going to take place. So thank you very much for allowing us to do this opening ceremony.
Thank you, Don. I'm going to take a 5-minute break and then we'll come back and Don will tell his story of how his journey took him from drinking to sobriety to back to his native lands.